Welcome to the Government IT Podcast from Converge One Government Solutions, featuring expert discussions around cloud solutions, cybersecurity, modern workplace, enterprise networking, and customer experience for government and civil agencies. And now, here are your hosts, Ryan Heath and Julian Foster.
So, welcome, Ryan. Today, we're going to be going into the National Cybersecurity Strategy again that was put out in March 2023. This is the third of a three-part series. Today, we're going to be doing Pillar 5, where we talk about implementation, assessment, and investment aspects. I'm your host, Julian Foster, and we have Ryan Heath, our resident expert on all things technological, with us today to answer some questions. How are you, Ryan?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Very good. Thank you. Very good. I'm excited to get into this part because I think it's a really important part of the strategy. A lot of very important questions to be answered here. In terms of investment and particularly in assessment, you know, there's a lot of, it's easy to talk about things, but it's another thing to follow through and actually, you know, be able to measure and show the results. So let's start with the implementation of the strategy. Excuse me. Who exactly is responsible for implementing the strategy?
Yep. So the strategy is from the Office of the National Cyber Director. So he's responsible for coordinating the strategy's implementation, and working with the interagencies and all the partners to, you know, provide the outlines that are necessary that make sure that they meet the federal, you know, guidelines that are set in place, kind of perform on that executive strategy. You also have the National Security Council in there as well that kind of goes over the policies. And, you know, they also work with Congress on the strategy as well.
This might be a little bit out of left field, the question that I'm about to ask, but what would such a plan look like? Do you have any idea, you know, what would be the components? How is it, you know, put together? What are the goals and objectives specifically of the plan?
So there's a lot of, it's more of like a framework type of set to make sure that, you know, agencies are meeting at least the bare minimum requirements on the, from the federal, you know, guidelines that they put in place.
Right.
And it's also kind of putting in gates, if you want to kind of call it that, steps that they have to kind of go through, processes that are in place. So as a new project gets kicked off, you know that there are security requirements around it, and it helps you, you know, utilize those frameworks to implement that project.
So how does this strategy account for measuring the effectiveness of the implementation?
Well, it's you know, a very data-driven approach to kind of assess the effectiveness. You know, it's really part of the Office of the National Cyber Director to figure out that effectiveness. And within the coordination that he works with the National Security Council, you know, and you also have the office management for the budget piece. So, you know, putting all those three, you know, different departments together, you know, they kind of go through what is effective, what's not, and then kind of budget for it. So that's where you kind of get that whole financial cycle.
Right.
Now, within those three, you know, there's also things that when they meet with the president annually in Congress, you know, at that point, they're putting things in place, you know, to really kind of confirm the security affairs for the U.S., putting things and strategies in place if they need to escalate one of the departments to maybe oversee something a little bit better. You know, that's when they go through that process.
When you say it's a data-driven approach, what are the data that are being collected and you know, how do those relate to quantifiable outcomes? I mean, do we know what some KPIs are going to be yet, for example, or is that part of the process that they're next engaging in?
Yeah, definitely part of the process. You know, at this point, it's kind of getting that framework out there, the requirements, and, you know, setting up new projects. So everything on the federal sell cycle, you know, it does take a while. You got to understand when it goes out to bid what those requirements are, and you build your frameworks, you know, to those requirements. So there's a lot of things out there that you got to be really aware of from all different sectors, you know, on the security side, to be able to put in place a really strong design that meets the federal requirements.
And, you know, as I'm sure the plan is being executed, data is being collected, there will be a lot of lessons learned in that process, obviously. And then generally what we do is we take those lessons and then go back and sort of refine the process until we implement continuous improvements. What would be the role of the cybersecurity review board in that process?
It's really going through kind of the auditing piece of, you know, once an incident occurs, you know, how did the incident occur? What can we improve, you know, moving forward? What needs to be put in place within the frameworks? Really having that as a process so it gets distributed across the board between all the different agencies. So if there's, you know, some kind of an emergency cybersecurity threat, that they can put those processes in place, those recommendations, and move forward, as well as just anything that's going to be put into the framework holistically moving forward as well.
I know that there's mention in the plan about something that caught my attention, private network defenders. Recommendations directed to network defenders in the private sector. Who are network defenders in the private sector?
So, you know, we can go back to like Juniper Mist, you know, something like that, that has an overarching, you know, security platform that's in the cloud, kind of watching and monitoring everything. You know, if they know that there's a hole in a security vulnerability, having something like that put in place that can be monitored and easily fixed. So if the government comes up with a cybersecurity, you know, issue, like I think we've all kind of seen over the last couple of weeks, just from the FBI standpoint of messaging, you don't plug in your phones at the airport on, you know, open charging ports, things of that nature. So that's all, you know, still type of that, you know, life cycle that we're going through, and the process that they're putting within the review boards to make sure, you know, that there is a cyber threat with information out there and fix it.
I really like how the topics that we discuss from week to week all sort of tie in together. And that also, what you just said about, you know, plugging into public ports for charging, you know, leads me to think about something I think we've talked about in a couple of different episodes. And that's the importance of people learning, you know, basic security protocols. And, you know, that, you know, security can only, the security implementation can only do so much. We also have to rely on people using the security protocols properly. Otherwise, it falls apart.
Well, yeah. And when you look at that, you know, now all the airlines have all the tickets on your phone. You know, they really don't like to give you the paper tickets. They really want you to be encouraged to use the app, et cetera. So right. Now you have that, and you're kind of pushed in that direction over the last few years to be able to do that. Now your phone's running out of batteries. Can you board the plane because you don't have the paper ticket? So you're almost, you know, forced in certain situations to want to plug your phone into those open ports. And then you're, you know, you're at risk.
So this brings us to the next big topic. What investments are going to be necessary to maintain a secure and resilient digital ecosystem?
Well, this is the one thing that really kind of stuck out to me, you know, going through the whole article. And it's really the strategy, you know, puts a lot of emphasis on generational investments, which means this is going to be a long-term play, you know, kind of coming from, you know, yearly funding that's probably going to, you know, increase, which at this point, from everything that I see, that's definitely needed and required. There's a lot of technical debt, you know, just in the government systems that need to be upgraded to be able to, you know, get to where they really need to be secure and all the different phases and, you know, processes that they need to go through to be able to be secure. So there's going to be many federal, you know, actions within the strategy that I think kind of increase the private sector investment in security and just kind of the resilience, collaboration, you know, kind of working together. But you're going to see a big budgets, I would say, in the next couple of years, just coming from, you know, things Congress passes and just the U.S. budget in general.
You know, it's interesting. It's like all coming together now. We're talking about network upgrades, modernizing networks. So that relates back to the conversations we've had here and with Sienna about TDM migrations and migrating to modern packet switching networks. And then also Wi-Fi 6E, and then some of the security vulnerabilities that are, you know, kind of going to be left behind from legacy protocols that'll have to be sort of eased out. So I have a follow-up question. Is the investment in the private sector by the federal government, or is the investment by the private sector encouraged by the federal government? So is the federal government going to be investing a lot in the private sector, or is the federal government going to be encouraging the private sector to invest a lot?
Well, yeah, I would say kind of a little bit in both, and it's kind of how you read into that. You know, the federal government is one of the largest customers, you know, of technology. So, you know, they are going to be purchasing a lot of, you know, equipment moving forward and, you know, cloud services, anything very heavy security related. And then just the private sector itself needs to kind of follow through on, you know, getting a framework across the board so private companies are safe.
Right. So then however you look at it, the money's kind of just flowing through. You know, whether the federal government is the customer, and then the profits are used for R&D, or the federal government's giving money for R&D, and then the output is the products.
And just, you know, allocation into cyber in general from the U.S. funds.
So how will the ONCD, and the OMB guide these investments in cybersecurity?
So they'll get together on a yearly basis, go through the requirements, kind of go mapping where they are, the frameworks, what phases they're in, and then what the budget, you know, is going to allow to kind of get them to the next phase. So a lot of it's going to be, you know, just making sure that the budget is being put into the correct areas where they can continue on, you know, fulfilling all five pillars.
What's the plan for working with Congress to fund cybersecurity? I know we touched on that a little bit already, but can we get into some more details about what that's going to look like?
Yeah, well, you know, because cybersecurity and the ecosystem itself is just rapidly evolving, kind of learning what the new threats are, how to mitigate those threats, what needs to be put in place. So you're kind of staying ahead of the game the best they can. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the partnerships and kind of working with Congress to make sure that the funding is there to keep up. You know, this is kind of one of those things. If the funding is not there, government's just going to kind of stale out, and then we're just going to be open to cybersecurity threats left and right.
And are there any, do we know yet of any specific initiatives or investments or funds that are being established to address parts of the strategy already?
Well, you know, there's funds out there for, you know, public internet access to everybody. That's definitely a big portion. You got, you know, Space Force coming up with a bunch of threats just within the satellite arena. So anything within the skies. So there's a lot of different kind of funding that's going to be put in place, very department-wise. So a lot of move to the cloud for security practices. So I see a lot of that within just the DHS arena as well. All the different kind of DOD agencies itself are migrating to very secure clouds as well. So all that's kind of getting funded and going through the process. Just, it does take some time.
And I'm sure this is going to have a profound impact on, you know, the workforce and the need for skilled cybersecurity professionals, right?
That's a huge issue. It's getting the individuals from the government standpoint, as well as the public sector, private sector individuals that can really assist. So that goes down to kind of budgeting, planning, and training. It's really hard to get the correct, you know, trained individuals to be at some of these locations all the time. So it's going to be a constant improvement that they're going to have to be working on.
Do you feel like the educational system is following suit and really kind of pushing educations and you know, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence?
It's better than it was. It's still not producing enough skilled labor on the cybersecurity professional, you know, workforce. But there's more talk about it now than there was a couple of years ago. It was more like, yeah, we need to do it. Now there's kind of some things put in place, you know, even from like the high school level of putting cybersecurity classes in place. At least we're starting at that level, and that can kind of continue to grow. But it's also kind of hard for the quick change just within cybersecurity in general to go to a college class, as instance that, you know, might take 2 years to develop. It's a little bit outdated. So it's kind of hard to keep pace with what's really up to date. And that's more of an individual person that needs to go through that process to get up to speed as fast as possible. It's hard within our large environments to be able to do that and make the quick change.
They could possibly have Chat GPT write the courses.
Yep. That's a very good possibility. It might help them, you know, move a little bit quicker.
Yeah, speed things along, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, that actually brings up another question that came to mind, and that is, you know, we talked earlier about Juniper Mist, and we've actually done, you know, we did a 2-part series on that. If you look back in our library, you could find that. And it's an artificial intelligence driven network management platform. Does the new national cybersecurity strategy go into issues around artificial intelligence much? We haven't really touched on that.
I would say within the last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot more focus in on that. It's a little bit more high level. I mean, ChatGPT kind of is throwing that, you know, into the forefront. What do they need to do? How do they need to protect it? You know, what's coming down the pipe and how do they deal with it? So all those things are being discussed. I just haven't seen a framework that actually will outline anything useful at this point.
Well, I think that's a good place for us to start. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground in the 3 parts that we've done so far, including this one on the national cybersecurity strategy. What are some of the key takeaways that you think we should, you know, wrap up with?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just they are addressing a complex challenge to cybersecurity for what's going on today. So having those five pillars, defend today, secure tomorrow, strengthen cybersecurity ecosystem is key. So they're putting a lot of energy into that, you know, working on building the relationships between, you know, allies that we have, international partnerships, And then going through the process that you kind of really need to go through is just kind of going and, you know, finding out the activities that took place that were malicious, going through a process to, you know, put something that's resilient in there that, you know, you could put a framework in there that kind of ties everything together, secure, put that out there and move towards it. You know, I think for the US that they're doing that is great to really kind of put a really strong, especially within the protecting supply chain, and protecting kind of the digital ecosystem that we have.
Yeah, maybe that's something else that we could talk about in a future episode in the not too distant future is I think, you know, some of the concern around the supply of semiconductors, which is something I've been reading a lot about recently.
I agree with that point 100%.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights on this and throughout the whole series that we've done on the National Cybersecurity Strategy. I want to encourage everybody again to, you know, to check out the library and the other episodes if you haven't already. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, to the podcast, and like the videos. Will help us out a lot. We hope that this has been valuable to everybody and given some insights into how, you know, the United States and our partners can tackle some of the cybersecurity and other IT challenges that lie ahead. Until next time, stay safe, stay informed. Ryan, thanks again for all of your insight and information.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Everybody have a great day.